Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 14 of season 6. If you've just joined, I'm Robin of At a Tired Witch Everywhere, and I'm joined by the beautiful, the illustrious Maria of Maria the Art. No, Magic with Maria Everywhere.
Wow.
No, I don't know who you are.
Wow. You forgot my whole ass name.
Well, for the record, I have said Maria the Arcane for 100 years. It's not my fault you up and changed it.
I don't want to sound like a D&D character anymore. I mean,
well, now you sound like you friggin', I don't know, are like home goods of magic.
Oh.
I'm just teasing.
That
I'm just
me
teasing.
Change his name too.
I'm just teasing. I'm just teasing. I mean, maybe. Maybe I'm right. Wow. No, I'm just kidding. So, if you guys are in the category of joining our classes, we have a class on August 10th. It is going to be by Samantha Weisberg. She's taught for us before, and she's been on this podcast and did an amazing job talking about Medusa. And that class is going to be on creative writing, which you can apply to spell work and witchcraft.
And it kind of goes with our topic of discussion this time.
Yes.
So
it does.
Yeah. Yeah. Very excited.
Join us. Be there. Be square. I am so excited about it. Samantha is absolutely brilliant. It's going to be a great class. Yeah. Come join us.
Come join us.
And don't forget, if you want to join us for our Coffee Talk episodes, you would like to send in a story or similar, you can shoot us an email at submissions@coffeeandcauldrons.com. You can head to our website, coffeeandcauldrons.com, and fill out a submission form, or you can leave us a voicemail. It is at 351-207-0799. Can't wait to hear from you.
Yeah, and there is a 3-minute cutoff point, so if you reach that 3 minutes, just call us back.
We'll put it together.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you've just joined us this episode, every episode we talk about upcoming lunar phases and how you can utilize those in your magical practice. That being said, the nearest one from this episode is going to be on August 9th. That is the full moon in Aquarius. And Aquarius full moons are all about creativity and, I don't know, whimsy almost. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, Aquarius is not just being creative. Cancer is being creative. But Aquarius is a step further than that. It is whimsy. It is finding joy and, you know, creativity in unconventional places. So for this particular full moon, I think that this is a really great time to celebrate fulfillment of intentions that have already passed. Sometimes we do ritual just for ritual's sake. And it is for doing, you know, the act of gratitude and showing things. Yes, of course, full moons we can use for manifestation work and starting stuff. But it would be my advice in this particular full moon to do a ritual that is one that is purely for gratitude of the things that you already have had manifest and come to light. I know that's maybe a little unconventional, but the Aquarius full moon is all about unconventional. So that would be my advice. How are you going to use it, girl?
So I definitely agree with like Aquarius being like all whimsy and creativity and all that. Like Aquarius is literally the eccentric aunt that you want at every single family gathering. But outside of everything that Robin said, of course, but I also view Aquarius as a great time to get in connection with your inner child, because Aquariuses aren't scared of like play and having fun and just being like their unique selves. So this full moon can kind of like help you develop that. And also, I would, since Aquarius are also, they're very big on being proactive when it comes to like the injustices in the world, because they want, you know, they're all about unique and stuff like that. So they want other people to be unique too, and celebrating uniqueness. And so if there's anything that you want to do for what is happening politically, like as an act of protest, this is a great spell to work with to make that happen. Maybe you want to do a protection spell for a protest you're going to, or maybe you just want your voice to be amplified or want a particular, you know, group's voice to be amplified, this would be a great moon to do work with that as well.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's like I said, it's all about the unconventional with this particular full moon. So yeah, go out there, go do it.
Do it.
Episode, we like to talk some tarot. Previous seasons, we've gone over individual meanings of cards, and then we've also gone over the whole sections in tarot, like the aces, the major arcana, the minor arcana, the kings, the queens. We went over it all. And then last season, we talked about themes that we see in tarot. So we talked about like cards that would pop up when it comes to love, when it comes to friendship, like things of that nature. This season, we're kind of going back to our roots by doing individual meanings of cards, but with a twist where you do shuffle and draws and kind of like just do a group related reading. And sometimes what we say won't resonate with you because it's just like the overall energy. Sometimes we're just not connected to that energy, and that is completely okay. So, Robin, what is our card this time?
So, today's deck, I think I've used this one on the podcast before, but it is the Earth Magic Tarot deck. It's a black and gold tarot deck, so it's one of Maria's favorites. And our card today is the Eight of Swords in reverse. Wow. First of all, look at the imagery for that. Can you see it?
Yes, I love that very much. I like that deck.
I really like this deck too. I just think that it's got such a great way of like combining medieval, imagery.
Mm-hmm. It's like that wood carving imagery.
Yeah. It reminds me of Rembrandt, Rembrandt Prince. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I went to art school. Can you tell? Anyway, let's get back to this. The Eight of Swords. The Eight of Swords is kind of being in, when it's upright, is kind of being in a position of feeling very helpless, but you're not in as big of danger or stress as you think. Like, yes, there are real life things that are going around, like that are happening around you, uh-huh. but it isn't actually like physically harming you like you see with the Ten of Swords, for example. And when we have this card in reverse, to me, it's all about like feeling like we have to control our situations that are around us. So when it's upright, it's that we have a misunderstanding of the situation around us. And when it's in reverse, it's about feeling like you have to control the situation around you. And that in and of itself becomes quite limiting. You're placing restrictions on yourself. You're the one who is completely in control of the negative and your own perception of that negative. Where in upright, it's a misunderstanding of our negative that's around us. Mm-hmm. So it really, to me, points to, I'm trying to think of how to word this. Make sure that we are not being too much of a helicopter parent of our own situations, mm-hmm. because helicopter kids, they always, what's the word I'm looking for? Rebel, mm-hmm. and never in the way you want it to.
We have
anyway
another kind of like separation of like what you think of a card and what I think of a card.
Oh, look at us 2 weeks in a row.
I view this like when it is the Eight of Swords and it's upright, it kind of shows a situation you are like, I do agree like you are involved in that you need to become a knight in shining armor and like save yourself. But when it comes to reverse thing, it's really situations out of our control that is like keeping us like caged in a situation. And like, unfortunately, like these things do happen, like where there's nothing that we can really do. We just have to kind of like go through the motions of it and deal with like the stuck feeling. And yeah, eventually, hopefully this card will turn upright or something. But it's kind of like that hangman situation, like where it's really out of your control, that you really can't do anything to help the situation. You just have to kind of let the situation like play out.
Yeah.
What happens. And it's kind of in like how, and when it's upright, it's like it's saying, you know, that you can go around the swords, like you don't have to get cut. But when it's reversed for me, it shows like, yeah, if you kind of like push against it too much, like you might get cut from it. And it's just a reminder to kind of like, you know, just let it play out. Just let it do whatever. Like, it, mm-hmm. it kind of reminds me of,
well,
like...
Well, so we're kind of saying the same thing, just in different words.
Yeah, just, like, think of, like, two friends fighting. Mm-hmm. And you love both friends so much, but...
Sometimes you need to not pick a side.
Yeah, don't pick a side. Just listen to both of them, you know? Mm-hmm. And because if you push too much, you might get cut. You might lose a friend.
That's
yeah,
100%. So, as you guys have probably heard in our last few episodes, Maria and I are working on a mini series right now about the elements. We've been going through them in the order of calling the corners, which is so cute. Not to toot our own horns, but we're like really cute. Yeah. So continuing this series, our next one is air. The one we're on today is air, which is honestly one of my favorites to work with. I don't know about you.
No, I love air. Like,
I think it's really underrated.
We'll go into it.
I think it's very underrated. I really do. I think that air is extremely underrated because people, when they think of air, they literally just think of like what we breathe in. And that's, of course, not correct. So that being said, Maria, what does air correspond to for yourself?
Okay. Obviously with the East and also like with spring and new beginnings, but also like... For air, it's also like creativity. It is words. It is even like mental health. It could be challenges, setbacks. Trying to really think. And also like if you're working like with materials like incense, like, you know, smoke or even like the wind of itself. Like obviously we'll get into like how to work with the wind and stuff like that. But... just like working with those things. And then also, of course, like travel and movement. It's not like, I know a lot of people think of fire the same way because they equate it back to like the wands in tarot. Mm-hmm. But there's a difference between like the travel and movement when it comes to swords. Like it's definitely more like the mentality of getting there. Does that make sense? Rather than the actual like excitement and movement towards it. It's more of like the to-do list and the actual like act of getting there, like riding an airplane, while the wands would be the excitement of riding in an airplane. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
How about for you? What are a few for you?
Well, air is all about thinking. Not to quote myself once again from my own book, Magical Tarot, available where all books are sold. But air has the expression of, I think. Thinking is something that we know everyone does. We know we think, but we cannot see the action. Air is almost that of a faith. I know that you think, I know that I think, but I can't see you doing it. Mm-hmm. And so there's faith there that there are some cogs turning, you know, in your brain. And so when we are thinking of spells that are, you know, connected directly to air, for me, it's all about the rapidness of air. So these are spells that are going to be short-lived. They happen very quickly. Like they'll manifest very quickly, but as quickly as they came, they will leave. Mm-hmm. Just like a thought. Mm-hmm. Unless, of course, you have obsessive compulsive disorder such as myself, and then you'll ruminate on that thought forever and ever and ever. And maybe that's why I like air so much. Air is also very good for spell work that is a precursor spell to something that is longer term. Mm-hmm. So we want the spell to take flight. We want it to get started. We want it to really kind of I don't know, start snowballing and catching flame. Well, to catch the flame, you need air. Air is just like this perfect correspondence for anything that needs, you know, a start. It needs, it's good to be paired with the new moon, I feel like.
Yeah.
But it is very much all about, you know, quick succession, how we think, and getting stuff started.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Does that make sense? Am I like rambling a little too much?
And go kind of off of what you said, like spell work, like your word, like as you said, you know, like using your words and stuff like that. But that's part of like saying your intentions out loud is part of like air magic. And even like writing out spells is like air magic as well, because it's the whole act. It like it's the vehicle to your spell. Does that make not like the vehicle, but like the movement of your spell, and like you're actually verbalizing what it is you want, what ties like all of these ingredients together, or what ties all of your intentions together. And it's, as you said, sometimes it can be short-lived. I do think, you know, with air, you, if you want something to happen, like it be last longer, that's why we add different components to the spell. That's why you would add like words to like when you're doing fire magic, when you're doing earth magic, you know, you're kind of like leveling it out a little bit. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for you, if you are going to give air direct correspondence, as in like items for your altar, or like unconventional ways that air like can be utilized as an element in witchcraft, what would you say? Like what items and ingredients would you suggest?
Yes, obviously incense. But also I love dandelion seeds and I love maple pods. Anything that travels along the wind, you know, like really easily, like bird feathers or even like insect wings, which I do collect. You know, like Robin's jar of scabs.
I know. My scab jar.
But yeah, like anything for me that travels along the wind easily that we see. I even think I have maple pods on my main altars. And I also, as I said, I do keep like feathers and things like that. And obviously I'm a big user of incense. because when we're working, you know, like when you're doing a divination using smoke, using incense, that is working with the element of air. And also, you know, just using, I really think when you sit down at your altar and you kind of like talk, you know, to spirit for like a little bit, that is also like you giving your altar something that is of air. How about you?
Well, in terms of like actual items, I think arrowheads are a really good item that represents air and fire, but we'll get into that next time. because they do like go through, they like literally soar through the air. Arrows in general, feathers, obviously, you said that. I think wands. So like just sticks that you get from the yard that can be used as a wand also obviously represents air.
Complete. I was like, yeah, and even like it, having an FMA is air.
Yeah, 100%. I also think, and this is going to be a little bit like not controversial, but this is like a hot take. I think really, really fragrant flowers can represent air because the scent is moving through the 100%. Air. It's filling the whole room with that scent. Yeah. So air to me is, again, kind of like I think it is such a conceptual element because we also can't see air. Like it's just, I don't know, it's so conceptual. I think to fans, you want to be a techno witch, go get an electric fan and put that on your altar.
I want to see like a witch make a very heavy like technology altar. I think that
I would
so
love
cool.
to see that.
I would
like
die.
Genuinely would love to see that.
It's not my like jam, but I would love to see it. Like, so yeah. have it. I would celebrate yeah. it. I think that would be so cool.
Yeah. And I think, and this is another hot take. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
I think that if we're looking to tarot for, like, you know, some people, including myself, utilize tarot cards as symbolism for spell work. Again, check out my book, Magical Tarot. They're available where all books are sold. The kings are all air.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
They're all air. Yeah. 12 out of 10. Put those bad boys on your altar and you're good.
Yeah, because they handle things, obviously, as more archetype, but more logically, you know, while the queens can be definitely go off of like wanting to take care of people, wanting to make sure that everyone is actually taken care of, while the kings are more cutthroat with their things if they had like sometimes when they have to take a more logical approach, which, yeah. Which can be, you know, sometimes can be helpful when you're trying,
yeah.
like a king and trying to make things last for a very long time.
Yeah, 100%. So if you were going to use air specifically in your practice, or not if you, when you use air specifically in your practice, what does that look like, babe?
Oh, well, obviously, I haven't mentioned my favorite thing. Like, yeah, we have that class coming up with creative writing and I'm like jazzed
yes!
about it.
It's all about thoughts.
Yeah. And I really like I use a lot of word witchery in my spell work. You know, just the act of writing and also of speaking, which is all considered word witchery, by the way. But those I do a lot to get my intentions out there. And I do a lot of smoke divination with like incense. Like, I think it's very meditative and it also helps, you know. If you're very bad at like envisioning things like during meditation or anything like that, if you need something to focus on, I think smoke is like really great to like
I agree. I also think that smoke, if you are, I don't know, if you practice enough, if you're trained enough in it, can also be used just specifically for divination where you can see images in it and stuff. But that is a skill that is learned.
Mm-hmm.
It has a name, like tassomancy has a name, but I don't remember what it is.
Yeah. And I also like with, cord cuttings or even for banishment rituals, I consider like, yeah, sometimes you would use fire for that. But I do think air too, especially when you're trying to sever something from yourself. But yeah. So, and then I would also consider, obviously right now is Mercury retrograde. I'm not sure when that ends. Probably ends super soon.
It's the 10th. It ends on the 10th.
Okay. So
I'm literally hanging on for dear life for it to end because this retrograde has absolutely killed me.
Yeah. Oh, and speaking,
we'll get into that later.
But speaking of correspondences, like Hermes deals with, you know, with messages and air and communication and stuff like that. And, but also, like, I was even just thinking, like, Hermes is also, like, the god of technology. And technology is also considered an air aspect in some ways. Like, I really don't know how people connect it to that. Maybe it's just because of, like, you know, energy going from point A to point B. But anyways, but I do feel like any spell work revolving around like messages, even when it comes to technology or when it comes to wanting to receive messages from like spirit or like receiving something, let's say that you want to hear from somebody, that would also be considered, air magic. And I do that fairly often. If like I'm waiting for someone to reply to something super important or get back to me about, you know, like if you're waiting for to find out how expensive like something for, let's say something in your house breaks and you're waiting to hear like back about like the price of it, you want it to be lower, you would be working with the element of air to kind of like, you know, get that message to you, not only quickly, but hopefully to like it not be as bad, to kind of like, you know, have clear communication for it and not them trying to overprice you. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah.
And also wishes, I guess, but go ahead.
I mean, I was literally going to say wishes. I was going to say wishes and prayer just in general. I know that prayer, the word prayer can be quite triggering for some people because of their religious backgrounds and trauma. But prayer is not a word that is uniquely connected to Christianity, even if that is your own background. Prayer is simply a form of a wish, right? Mm-hmm. And you find prayer in witchcraft. And if that is a word that you struggle with, I apologize to you for that. That must be difficult, but it is a part of witchcraft.
Pagan prayer is
100, like, it's a huge part of witchcraft. There's actually big books on pagan prayer, and you should maybe consider it, because if you do have a bad background with religious trauma, it might be good for you to rephrase it. I don't know. I'm not a psychiatrist or a therapist, excuse me. For me, wishes, prayer, and meditation are all things that are so deeply connected with air. Because when I do things like prayer and meditation, it is a very big sensory experience that is connected with things like scent, with sound, with sight. And all of these things are connected to air, in my opinion. So for me, air is very much like that sort of thing, that how thoughts, how prayer, how devotion manifests.
Yeah. And you know what we also didn't speak about, like, especially at the beginning, but like sound is also considered air too. So like being bells in a practice or clapping your hands would be considered air. And I use bells fairly often in my practice, which I know we spoke about some of them when we were talking about Chicago. I was like, oh, I miss my bells. But I like to cleanse the space before like client readings. And call my clients like guides to help with the reading with bells. And I use bells very intentionally in my practice for things along that nature.
Yeah. It's all about how things travel, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Air is Eight of Wands manifest.
Yes. And also, like,
yeah.
I'm very, like, I guess now thinking about it, music plays such, like, a big, important role in my practice because I need to have music on when I'm meditating. I need to have music on when I am performing spell work. I need music on even when I'm doing, like, reading. So, like, music plays such an important part. Like, music helps you get into the, like, right mind frame for what it is that you are doing. And we even knew someone like that was on our Discord that used, like, they made a huge, like, playlist of songs, and they would hit shuffle and whatever song would pop up, like, they would use that as like a divination, which I think that is very cool and very neat. But yeah, like that intentional thing of like using music for your practice, like, it's a great way to involve air magic into your spells.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm trying to think, like, somebody, I'm trying to remember who it was. I cannot recall. But there was someone a couple of years ago who told me about using, like, learning to play the guitar at their altar as a act of devotion. That I feel like is such a good example of that.
Yeah. A lot of people, like, I love that people, when people use, like, music or like singing or playing an instrument as an offering to spirit or to their guides. Especially, like, if you think about it, you know, the technology to hear music be replayed is fairly new. And so, like, using, you know, instruments at your altar or anything like that is a great way to connect to, like, really old guides that you might have follow you, or even like spirits that may enter your home that you want to keep close as an offering to them, because that was a great way to gather as community is like hearing, you know, someone play guitar or sing for them. Like,
yeah. I don't know. I as I have prompted the last few episodes, I would love to hear what other people's relationships are with these elements. If you have another way that you work with air, we would love to hear it.
Yeah.
I recently found out Spotify has like a comment section like on the podcast.
Yeah, we've been replying to some rude comments.
So you guys should like, if you're listening on Spotify, just like leave a comment there. How do you work with air? We want to hear.
Yeah, tell us.
And maybe like if we hear some interesting ones, maybe we'll share during coffee talks, because
that's a good idea. Actually, if you guys, when this is all done, the mini series, if you guys go back and you comment things that we maybe didn't cover, we can do a conclusion coffee talk where we share. Yeah.
Yeah,
that sounds great.
Yeah.
But yeah, like,
definitely let us know.
Yeah. So, Maria, what's stirring your cauldron this week?
Honestly, okay. So the weather has, right now in the South, we're experiencing what we call like false fall. It is nice and cool. And I say nice and cool when it's like 77 degrees outside, because that is our fall. But it's so nice. Like, it's just the heat from summer is like hidden away for the time being, which means, you know, October is probably going to be blistering, but I digress. But right now, like, it's all cloudy outside. It's nice and cool. I want to decorate the house for Halloween so bad. And I think I'm going to get to it this week. I'm just going to go ahead and start decorating for fall. I don't care. Like, fall is going to come in November for the South anyway. So I'm going to, like, you know, I'm just going to enjoy it whenever. I enjoy like the good fall vibe. So I've been like reading a lot more, having some hot drinks, which is nice. And I don't know, it's just been so nice and cozy. And I wish that, like, I really feel like now, like if you go up northeast, like you could really, you know, you guys are probably like starting to feel that chill a little bit. And you're like, oh, you know, fall is coming. And I'm very jealous of that. But we're experiencing fake it right now, which is nice. I'll pretend. I'll use this moment to pretend and be super happy.
Yeah, I love that for you. Thank you.
So, Robin, what is not stirring your cauldron this week?
Thank you so much for asking. I actually have a few things that are not stirring my cauldron this week. And the biggest one I feel like is retrograde. I am just drowning in like things going awry, like my job, every single fucking call is dropping. My power keeps blipping. Like, it just feels like it's one thing after another, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm ready for retrograde to be done. It does end on the 10th, and I am literally counting down the days.
Did you not get Mercury a Red Bull?
I did, actually, but I did get sugar-free Red Bull, so maybe that was a problem. Maybe Mercury's a full sugar guy.
I do think, yes, because, like, the sugar, the caffeine.
Sorry, Mercury.
I don't know. What was I going to say? I'm so sorry you've been like going through it. Like, that's so horrible.
I just feel like there's so many like little communication issues that are like going crazy time. And I'm just, I don't know. I am worn out. I'm worn out.
Yeah. And like, I don't know about you, but that whole shadow period where like Mercury is like snapping back into place, like it can be like so much. That's when like things always go wrong for me. But it's always like at the beginning, never at the end. But I knock on wood.
But luckily my desk is made out of wood, so I have it right here. I'll give Mercury another Red Bull and include you into the intention for the shadow. So hopefully it doesn't.
Thanks,
you.
Girl.
Of course, I got you.
Thanks, girl. Week we talk about creatives that we are loving right now. This is anybody from shops to small businesses, artists, photographers, other podcasts, books, you name it. This is stuff that we've organically found that we have just loved, and we thought that you would like it. They are not ads. So that being said, Maria, who are you fucking with this week?
Oh my, you're going to love this too. But as Souls of Beldam, right? Is that, am I pronouncing that correctly? I think so. Yeah. But okay. But the stuff that they make is so crazy. It is so beautiful. And they just recently made a stuffy Ogluto from
Yeah, right.
From Labyrinth. And oh my gosh, it is so cute. And it's like a giveaway right now. And I know there's like thousands and thousands of entries, but if the universe could just like shine its light upon me and say that I get it, I would be so happy. Anyways, but they also do like Coraline dolls and like do these like really macabre like teacups. And just the artistry of everything that they make is so gorgeous, so beautiful. And I would die. I would die for any piece, really. But that Ludo one, like, it gave me
so that's good.
My favorite character from Labyrinth. And I would die.
Me too.
Second being, you know, David Bowie's cock piece.
I'm just kidding.
That's inappropriate, Maria.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot that this is a rated G podcast.
Yes. So who I'm fucking with this week is actually a small business, a small knitting business called Twisted Stitch. I can speak. I actually was talking about the fact that I'm going to invest in some better knitting needles. Mm-hmm. And the owner of the shop saw my thread post about it and started messaging me and like helped me to decide what nice knitting needle set I should get.
Oh.
And like, it was just like, and then like I bought it from them, but it was, their prices were exactly comparable to getting off of Amazon. So yeah. Like, why wouldn't I give my money to a small business, first of all? And second of all, to one that helped me one-on-one for no reason. 12 out of 10. We love a small business.
And if you make your own like yarn, you know your shit. You know, so
right. Like if you are literally a like a yarn seller, this is your job, like you know what you're talking about, you know what you prefer, like, so yeah, I sold immediately. Yeah, so go check them out.
All right.
Our listener choice this week is, this was emailed in, so this is about word magic, and it's the person who submitted it, they listened to our episode on word witchery. Hello, I can speak. And they came across the work of David Abrams. David Abrams, per their discussion, is basically just focusing on written communication and kind of putting that intention out there with it. And I think that that's really nice.
Mm-hmm. Which kind of goes along with what we were talking about in our main part. So that was a good like connection. I feel like there's a lot of connections to Air Magic in this podcast. Although having a podcast, especially a witchy one, would be considered Air Magic too.
Yeah. Okay. I'm very into that word witchery stuff. I'm into it. Well, thank thank you all so much for joining us today. We hope to see you again on Friday, August 15th for our next Coffee Talk episode, or August 22nd for the 15th episode of Season 6. You can keep an eye out on our social media or head to our website, coffeeandcauldrons.com, to find out more information and see what we're up to. And don't forget to join us on August 10th for our class with Samantha Weisberg on creative writing. We hope to see you there. And as a reminder, that is for the library tier and up, or you can just buy the class on its own.
Yeah. And additionally, our Patreon Magical Beginnings offers our special 25-minute part 2 episode, a huge library of articles about witchcraft, a Discord community full.
Almost 600 posts.
That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
I need to do a larger article. Like, I need to start getting it into the works, but hopefully I will have one out soon. But yeah, we also have a Discord community, and that's full of fun events and discussions. And we even have tiers to offer one-on-one communication with Robin and myself.
Yeah. Get in there. Talk with us. And please, if you're loving our sexy, sensual chef's kiss voices, take a moment to review us from whatever streaming service that you were tuning in from, such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else. We love reading your reviews and rating us with 5 stars, but really rating us at all helps us to be seen by others. Thank you for everyone who already has and everyone who will in the future. We appreciate you.
Yeah. And again, this is Coffee and Cauldrons
with Robin from Out of Tired Witch Everywhere.
And I'm Rhea from Magic with Rhea Everywhere.
You ready?
Ready?
One, two, three.